the previous program was the Gary Noel Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. It is now almost 1 minute past 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Everybody, this is Kev O'Donohue, back with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you some ideas, concepts, and guests, try and help you lead a more positively minded life. And in the studio, Ben Starr, as usual.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Ben. And we have Paige Bellenbaum in the studio. Hi, Paige.
Hi.
Paige is the director of the Motherhood Center here in Manhattan. This is a new center that's been opened up here in Manhattan, and it's been a long time coming. A long time coming that we have a center after mothers here in New York City. Place of commerce and business, but also a place of caring. The Motherhood Center. We're going to be talking to Paige about a phenomenon that mothers, new mothers, have to deal with that many of you might know about but don't know the specifics of. It's called postpartum depression. And we're going to be taking your calls probably in about 15 minutes. We want to hear from you about your experiences, if you know a sister or a mother or an aunt or a friend who has struggled, or you yourself have suffered with postpartum depression. We're going to get into the symptoms in a minute.
It's interesting, Kevin. Last week we spoke about BPD, and this week we're speaking about PPD.
Yeah.
And Paige, I want to just real quick thank you for being here with us today.
My pleasure.
And I was wondering if you could explain to us the difference between PPD, postpartum depression, and the baby blues, more colloquial term. Is there a difference? If so, what is it?
Great. Yeah, I would love to explain that to you. First thing I want to clarify is that postpartum depression can be a catch-all for a number of different disorders that it can impact either a pregnant mother or a new mother from the time of conception until 12 months postpartum. And so we call the technical term is perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. What we do know is that 50% of all women who suffer from a perinatal mood and anxiety disorder, it does happen during pregnancy. So something to note about the difference between the two, 80% of all new moms experience something called the baby blues.
80%.
80%.
Tell us what the symptoms are. 80%.
So a mom can come home with baby. She can feel weepy, emotional. Her hormones are adjusting. Whether she's nursing or not, she's just delivered an infant. Her body's trying to get back to some kind of baseline state. So mom can cry. She can feel some dips in her mood. She can feel some elation. She might have some sleep interruption, which anyone who's had a baby knows is pretty much comes with the territory of an infant. But what we do know is that baby blues is a mild form that really shouldn't be lasting any more than 2 weeks postpartum.
Okay.
So it's not a diagnosis like PPD.
No.
But every new mother knows it, or most new mothers know it. And if they don't have it themselves, then a friend or a sister or an aunt or somebody they know has had that.
Absolutely.
So crying and irritability and tiredness and all those things. And the body's readjusting.
Yep.
So postpartum is much, much different than that.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Let's go right to it. What is postpartum depression?
So postpartum depression, and again, I'm going to speak, you know, to perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, but we're going to keep calling it PPD. So it looks different than generalized depression and or anxiety that a man or woman could have an onset on at any time in their life. So with PPD, what we see in both pregnant and new moms is a profound sense of hopelessness, helplessness, Oftentimes a very strong sense of wishing that mom had never had this baby, doesn't feel a reaction or a connection to the baby, feels as though she's made an enormous mistake. We see a lot of sleep aggravation. More often than not, women not being able to get adequate sleep, right? And as I said in the beginning, as anybody who's ever become a parent of an infant, sleep deprivation goes with the territory.
Yeah, yeah. Fathers, too.
Exactly. Right. But what we see in moms with PPD is that it's even more acute, so that even when the baby's sleeping, the mom can't sleep. She's so anxious. And that's the other thing we see quite a bit with postpartum depression is this comorbidity, which means both of them exist at the same time. The anxiety goes along with it. And sometimes it can start off very light. A mom can be worried that the baby might not be sleeping enough. And then it can turn into these very acute ruminations where mom is worried about everything. Mm. She's worried about the baby's diaper. She thinks the baby's not eating enough. She's worried that she's not making enough milk. She's worried that the baby's sleeping too much. All of these ruminating thoughts can just swirl around in mom's mind. So with the depression and this rumination, it makes for just really an intolerable, uncomfortable state.
It's very powerful stuff. It sounds almost like, from what you're describing, an existential dread, like an almost nihilistic just fear or anxiety that happens. How do we go about helping people who are struggling with this?
Right. Well, I think number one, it's raising awareness.
Sure.
We live in a culture and a society, unfortunately, where there's enormous stigma still around mental health. Whether it's maternal mental health or mental health in general, we are not at a point yet where we treat and consider mental health with the same attention and care that we do physical health. So that's number one. We need to really educate women and their partners and society in general to know that postpartum depression impacts 1 in 5 mothers. And those are just the moms that come forward. We like to think it's more like 1 in 3 because there's such an enormous stigma around this. So education is front and center. Moms, their partners, society needs to know how prevalent this is.
Wow. So wait, I just want to be clear on this. We heard 4 in 5 women experience a form of baby blues, right, after giving birth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So up to 80% of women are experiencing acute short-term symptoms in the first 2 weeks, you said?
Mm-hmm.
But that figure for the more long-term chronic symptoms of postpartum depression is as many as 1 in 5 or even 1 in 3.
Yes.
Yeah. That's staggering.
It is staggering. And, you know, we've had a lot of moms that have come to us for treatment at the Motherhood Center, which I'll speak to in a little bit. But even with screening initiatives in place, meaning that there's quite a growing body of OBGYN practices, pediatricians, midwives that are screening mothers during pregnancy and in the postpartum period, we hope that moms are answering those questions accurately.
Mm-hmm.
These questions focus on depressive feelings and anxiety and, worst of all, suicidal or homicidal ideation.
And there's a reason they wouldn't answer them honestly, isn't there?
Well, that's the problem, and that's why we say it's probably more like 1 in 3 than 1 in 5.
Yeah.
Moms are so afraid. They're so ashamed of the feelings that they're having. I mean, can you imagine being a mother where everything you've ever heard, every advertisement you've ever seen, any picture you've ever seen of a mother and baby, holding her baby, loving her baby, baby looking at mom in the eyes, cooing and laughing. If you're that mom who feels like you made the biggest mistake of your life, you don't love your baby, you wish you never had your baby, you feel like this is the worst decision you've ever made, the fear of being judged, the stigma around that really can sometimes cause women to not answer those questions accurately.
Sure, because for so many people, they're saying, well, you know, my baby's a miracle. This changed my life. This is the most wonderful thing. And then to not be feeling that, and even to be feeling the opposite, there must be a lot of shame associated with it.
There's a ton of shame. And what I like to share with mothers that come to the Motherhood Center is, you know, I got into this work because I myself had a severe, severe bout of postpartum depression and anxiety when my son was born 11 years ago. And when I came out on the other end, I swore that I was not going to stand for any woman to have to go through this silently and suffer the way I did, because back then there was really nothing. But what I like to share with my moms, to encourage them, use your story, right? You are a mouthpiece to really start to have an impact on the stigma of maternal mental health. I would never forget sitting in the park once with my son, and he was probably about 2 months old. There was a woman sitting next to me. She had this beautiful girl in pink, smiling, cooing. She looked over at me and she said, "Isn't this the greatest thing that ever happened to you?"
Gosh.
And I said, "No. Sometimes I wish I never did it. This is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life." And I feel a little bad, but that smile that was on that mom's face started to drop. It turned into a frown. And then the tears started rushing out of her face, and she looked at me and said, "Thank you so much for saying that. I feel exactly the same way."
Gosh, beautiful story. Great story. And so, you know, we cut women slack for 2 weeks, let's say,
right,
for postpartum blues, because we've all been exposed to that a mother, a new mother, is not feeling great, is not feeling well, is irritable, is feeling certain things. But after that, people would say, "Well, you have the greatest thing in the world. You have a new baby. You have something to cherish and nurture and nourish every day." And your story is saying it doesn't go away after 2 weeks.
No, in these instances where PPD continues beyond the baby blues, it can go on for 3 months, 6 months. You know, we've seen moms that are on their second child that come to the Motherhood Center who had postpartum depression since their first child was born 3 years prior, and they never got treated. So they've been existing. Their baseline has now become this either low to moderate level of depression and anxiety.
Will certain women know in advance that they're vulnerable to it? You say, I'm surprised at this, that even during the pregnancy they're having this.
Yes.
PPD.
Yes, 50% of all cases.
And what are the symptoms there?
Same thing. We see depression and anxiety. You know, we can experience and witness moms feeling withdrawn, feeling guilty, feeling perhaps as though they're making a big mistake. They don't want to go through with the pregnancy. They're not feeling an attachment or connection to the fetus inside of them. And the anxiety as well, being so worried about what's going on. I think a lot of women can't wait for the baby to come out because then they can see the baby, hold the baby, touch the baby, protect the baby. But I hear so many women say after delivery, "I just wish I could stuff him or her right back up in there because I'm even more anxious having the baby outside and all of these different external things I can't control."
Gosh.
But we see the same symptoms in the postnatal period as we see in the perinatal period.
And for those women who are suffering the most, does the flip side happen? They become the happiest mothers when they get through PPD? I mean, I'm just, you know, maybe wishing too much here, but I'm sure there are really success stories with the treatment that you're giving.
We have. I'm really happy to say that with every single mother that we've treated at the Motherhood Center in our day program, and I can go into greater detail about what the different components of the Motherhood Center are, but the day program is really for our most acute mothers who are having acute symptoms of depression, anxiety, psychosis, post-traumatic stress disorder. These moms, the way we measure where they're at when they come in is we use an instrument called the EPDS, which basically measures their depression. It's a depression scale.
Right.
A lot of our moms are coming in with a score in the high 20s, 30 being the highest.
Okay.
All of our moms are leaving with a 10 or lower. So we know that what we're doing works.
Okay. Treatment works. That's fantastic. You have the numbers to back it up. So if a woman is suffering with this, they could go to the Motherhood Center and get better.
They can.
There's just no question about it. Statistically, it's proven to treatment works.
Treatment works, and that's what we like to tell moms. And Postpartum Support International, which has been around for over 20 years, they really are the godmother of raising awareness and supporting treatment for moms suffering from perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. We like to share their slogan, "It's not your fault." There's many, many other people out there like you. And with treatment, everybody gets better.
You're listening to Paige Bellenbaum here on The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5. And we are going to take your calls. We want your calls if you have suffered this yourself. How long did you suffer with this?
So I didn't go into treatment until my son was 6 months old. I hid my symptoms. I hid a lot of them from my husband. I myself had suicidal ideation, and it wasn't until one day where I looked at ending my own life and my son's where I knew I had a problem and I had to get help. But it took me 6 months to get to that place.
So if you want to talk to Paige, call us at 212-757-5555. We really want to hear your stories. This is current. This is going on now. This is not abstract. This is a real thing. This is a place, the Motherhood Center is a place where people get treatment, and you have availability for people with low income or no insurance and things like this to get this kind of treatment that works, statistically works, is proven to work.
Exactly.
You will take an ESPQ. Is that what is the intake?
Oh, the EPDS is a screening instrument. It's a very common instrument to screen for postpartum depression.
So you will take that coming in, mm-hmm. and then you'll get the good news going out.
Right.
So we want to talk more about treatment, but I want to say the number again, 212-757-5555. If you have suffered with postpartum depression.
Or if you've watched someone you love go through this.
Or watched somebody else go through it. Or if even you've had the baby blues and maybe they've lasted longer, because that's where the unreporting goes, right? Baby blues has a 2-week window,
right.
And if you're suffering after that, maybe a low level, you're one of the unreported postpartum depression people. And we're saying, Paige is saying that it's not 1 in 5. Chances are it's really 1 in 3. So many of you women out there know somebody who has suffered from this. We'd love to hear your experience. You have a pro here, really, who can tell you and guide you and show you and empathize with you. 212-757-5555. So does it go away fully?
With treatment, it goes away.
Okay.
And I want to – something that you said prior, there's a spectrum of symptoms.
Right.
And you could be a woman or you could know a woman who's experiencing severe postpartum depression, at which point she would most benefit from our day program for acute cases. And in some instances, if mom is having a psychotic break, needs to be in an inpatient facility to mm-hmm. get better and to get stabilized. But there's also moms that suffer from mild to moderate symptoms. And those are moms that benefit from, and what we also offer at the Motherhood Center, outpatient therapy, medication management, support mm-hmm. groups to be mm-hmm. around other women that are suffering from the same thing that you are. So there's a spectrum of acuity, and at the Motherhood Center, we make sure that we meet each mother where she's at with the type of treatment that's tailor-made for what her symptoms look like.
Beautiful. Well, what is the importance? You have groups, ongoing groups. Tell me the importance of a group therapy experience for recovering mothers.
So we do 2 different types of groups. In the day program for our acute moms, it's groups all day long. So therapeutic groups with other moms, peers that are going through the same thing. We also do standalone postpartum depression support groups. I would say that getting better and recovering from postpartum depression, 70% of the treatment that leads to feeling better is the peer support that you get being around other pregnant and new moms that are suffering from the same thing that you are. To be able to look across the room, look next to you on either side, and see a woman who's struggling just like you, who's saying, "This sucks. I wish I never did this. I don't feel connected to my baby. I can't sleep. Mm-hmm. I can't eat. I'm so anxious." And to be able to say, "I feel the same way," just like that woman I spoke to in the park that one day. That peer support and being around people who understand you has everything to do with the healing process.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. We have a caller on the line right now, Jane. Hi, Jane. Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Hello, Jane.
Hi.
So you have some experience with this?
Well, I think I might.
Well, you're talking to the right people. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, I had a baby recently, and I'm listening to Paige, and a lot of what she's saying sounds familiar, like I might be experiencing it.
Wow.
Yeah. Jane, tell me a little bit about how you're feeling. What's this like for you?
I'm really, really sad all the time, and I feel like I shouldn't be, because I just had this baby.
Oh, Jane, it sounds like you are really suffering through this, and I'm really sorry to hear how painful it sounds like this is for you. I do want you to know, Jane, as we were talking earlier on the show, how common it is for women to feel this way after they have a baby. And the good news is that you are going to feel better and that there are treatment options out there for you to feel better.
It just seems so like I should... How could I feel this way? How could I be sad when I have this beautiful baby? And I also feel like I'm really nervous around her, and I'm afraid to not hurt her, but I'm afraid that I will do something wrong.
Yeah,
that's incorrectly. I don't feel like I'm going to hurt her on purpose, but I feel like I'm going to, you know, do something incorrectly, and it's going to end up hurting her.
Jane, one of the things that's really common for moms that are experiencing postpartum depression and anxiety is something that we call scary thoughts, where so many women, after they have the baby, have these scary thoughts. They're going to drop the baby. They're going to feed the baby wrong. Something's going to happen. It's really common, but it's so uncomfortable, and it's so hard to tolerate those feelings. And oftentimes, moms can feel guilty for even having them. But I want you to know it's a really, really common aspect of feeling anxious and depressed after the baby comes. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad mom or that you've done anything wrong or that you're even capable of doing those things.
Jane, are you getting any support anywhere?
Well, my husband is really supportive. Okay. And he thinks, you know, he's tried to get me to find treatment and find help. And I've resisted it. But listening to you guys today, I feel like maybe I need it.
Okay, so what can we do? Should she call you at the Motherhood Center? Should she email you?
Please do, Jane. I really encourage you to call us, and you will be received by warm and welcoming staff that will spend a moment with you, just getting a little bit of history and background on the symptoms that you're experiencing. And then we want to get you in as soon as possible, ideally this week, for an evaluation so we can figure out what level of care we can offer. So give us a call at 212-335-
Wait, 335. Sure. Okay, 335. Sorry, go ahead.
0034. So let me tell you one more time. 212-335.
Uh-huh.
0034. You call the Motherhood Center, and we'll get you in as soon as we can to help you start feeling better.
Okay.
Jane, thank you. Thank you so much for being our first call. This is beautiful.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you for your help.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. It's challenging.
Yeah.
It really is. Gosh. It's something that a lot of people are going through. And, you know, I think you said it right, Paige, is that it's important to keep in mind that it's very common and that people don't need to have shame and don't need to feel like they need to hold it in, because it's something that is really much more common than you might think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the numbers are staggering. And I think, you know, we see so many women that graduate from the day program and they've gone on such a journey of recovery where they came in really struggling with functioning period. And by the time they get out, they have the tools they need, the skills they need, the knowledge they need to be able to take care of their baby and feel confident. And they're always asking, what can I do now? I want to do something with this experience. And I say, share your story. If you feel comfortable, use it as a tool for advocacy.
See, there's the crying that you were talking about, too. And, you know, I have to say, whenever I see crying, I see hope. I mean, I really think that there's hope in these tears for her. People get clear through crying. And this is an aspect of the depression that's not typical of most depressions,
right?
That this crying. Do you see a lot of this crying?
Oh, yes. Oftentimes, I would say probably 99% of the time,
really?
We have women who cry. And it's completely directly related to that feeling of hopelessness and helplessness.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. We're talking about postpartum depression here with Paige Bellenbaum, our guest today. Paige, thanks again for being here.
My pleasure.
I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue, and we're taking your calls again at 212-757-5555. We have Connie on the line. Hi, Connie. Thanks for giving us a call today.
Hi. I'm going to be 80 pretty soon, and I had 5 kids, starting from when I was 19 and going till I was 41. And I was very lucky to have a plentiful supply of milk, and that really helped me, because when you nurse the baby, when you're not worried about do you have enough milk, but when you absolutely have the milk, for that time at least, you feel like you're in just this kind of circle of nourishment that's going through into the baby. The whole thing is fine. The other thing, so I usually tell mothers, please try to nurse if you possibly can. And then the other thing is to sleep along with the baby, because people make the mistake when the baby is asleep to try to read their book or have sex with their husband or get on the phone and talk to their friends or do their laundry or any kind of thing that they can't do while they're holding the baby. You know, finally the baby goes to sleep, mm-hmm. so they run around, try to have their life. And then the baby wakes up and they're like, oh, I'm not done doing my thing, whatever it is.
No,
you know, so you're annoyed with the baby for just waking up into its little life, you know. And be like, no, that's not.
Connie, can you tell us anything about your symptoms? Because you had children long before this even became in the culture, this language, this diagnosis. Did you have, what were your symptoms like?
Well, my mother had said that when she had two kids at that point, and me and my brother, and she said that when she first had me, that sometimes she would just get very teary for no reason. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that in the end of my pregnancy, I felt very good. I felt like I was in some kind of vague bubble of pleasantness. And I thought, this is really strange because I'm about to have a very painful thing happen to me when this baby's going to come out.
Right.
But for some reason, I was just like, nah, 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 nah.
Right.
And then, after the baby was born, I suddenly did feel as if I was back in my old bones again. And not, because like when you're pregnant and you go to sleep, the baby is in you. I mean, you know, it's hard to explain this to a guy, but I mean, it's really a funny thing. It seems strange to me even now.
Yeah.
But another person is inside your body. And so you have kind of like their same little dreams, or at least their same little energy going along in you.
Yeah.
And so when you sleep and when you walk around, you've got this thing that's in you that used to be microscopic, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it doesn't know it's going to have to go to school, and it doesn't know anything bad is ever going to happen to it.
All of this feels great. Is that what you're saying?
It feels great. That's what I mean.
Okay.
You've got something in there that's just as happy as a lark,
right.
And then it goes out of you, and then you're back to your old self where you know you're going to die, you know your parents are going to die, you just know all this crap.
So it sounds like for you it wasn't that severe. I mean, you were not...
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But I certainly was around other people who had it, yeah. and I saw that what helped me very much was the nursing. And so I kept that up. I nursed my kids for 4 years. The first kid first one was just 8 months, but the ones after that, I didn't have anybody around to tell me what to do. I was living out on a farm.
Beautiful.
And I know it was great. It was great. I could just, you know.
And you know the importance of milk out on a farm. So
That's true. But the kids themselves are very, very, every one of those five kids, great people.
Fantastic.
Have children of their own. You know, they're all like really.
I'm going to direct you to themotherhood.com, themotheroodcenter.com. Look it over and send them an email. But your lessons are great, and we appreciate you calling us. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah, thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you, Connie.
I just wanted to touch on something, and thank you, Connie, for calling in. One of the things that we see very frequently, and I think, again, is one of those misnomers we don't talk enough about in society, along with thinking a baby's going to come, it's going to be wonderful and beautiful, there's also this misconception that that a mom is going to be able to just produce mass amounts of milk, and nursing is going to be fine and comfortable and enjoyable, and the baby's going to latch, and I would say more often than not, women have real challenges with breastfeeding, whether it's painful or there's cracking or they're not making enough milk. And it's the nursing issues that can really exacerbate a woman's anxiety around being a mother. Mm. There's so much pressure these days around nursing. And, you know, granted, nursing is good, but our philosophy at the Motherhood Center, and I know that this might upset some people, is feeding is best. If you are a mom who is an undersupply issue that's giving you enormous amounts of stress, if every night you're up pumping three times a night and you're feeding the baby, this is not working for you. You need to sleep and you need to get better. And in these instances, formula's fine. Your baby's going to be fine.
And what a disappointment it must be to some women. Like, they look forward to nursing and they think, oh, this is going to be a real moment of bonding. Husbands don't get to do this. I mean, mothers often can look forward to this. And then when it doesn't work out, it becomes difficult. it's got to be on some level a huge disappointment, aside from the pain that's involved.
It's a huge disappointment for moms who have to make that choice because it's a struggle. And when we see it, we just support and mother moms until we're blue in the face. Let them know that it's okay, that it's incredibly common, just like PMATs, to have nursing issues, and that your baby's going to be fine and you're going to be fine. And you're going to be a better mom to your baby if you get the sleep that you need and you care for yourself to really be present and feel better.
212-757-5555. 212-757-5555.
You have been listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. Our guest today, Paige Ballenbaum of the Motherhood Center. We're talking about postpartum depression, and it's pretty complicated, pretty powerful stuff. And if you've been listening in the first half of the show, you've certainly heard that. We'll be continuing this discussion after a short musical break. And again, we're taking your calls on this subject. If this is something that you've dealt with or that you've watched a loved one go through, the number to call, 212-757-5555. We'll be back after this with more from Paige Ballenbaum. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. Our guest today, Paige Ballenbaum, we're talking about postpartum depression and the various struggles that that can present. And Paige, thank you again for being here, for being our guest today. It's a topic that we've been wanting to do for a while, and we were waiting for the right person to come along like you to help us through it.
Thank you.
So I just want to run down the symptoms. You know, Jane, who called earlier, was crying, and she talked about doing it wrong, mm-hmm. afraid of doing something wrong. Suffering or not suffering, do most mothers fear they're doing it wrong?
So much so. And, you know, I have a lot of moms that come to the program saying, why didn't anybody tell me? Why didn't anybody tell me how hard this was going to be, or that I might be susceptible to postpartum depression or anxiety or anything? And I say to them, and the same thing happened to me, and I think happens to most women, you can tell a pregnant mom until you're blue in the face what the prospect might be after the baby comes. Mm-hmm. But all that mom can do is just think through the end of the pregnancy, getting the baby out, and that's kind of like where it ends. And so regardless of the education that a mom might receive on the front end or back end, when you're in that position and you're responsible for this fragile, utterly codependent, small human being that relies on you to survive, there's room for constant fear to be afraid that you're doing something wrong. Right. And I like to suggest to moms, I know that we like to use the internet for fact-finding and research, and we like to read books and all of that. Don't go crazy online, because you could type in, you know, why does my baby have diarrhea? And you could come up with 75 different reasons that could take you in a hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think moms very frequently are afraid they're doing something wrong, they didn't do it the right way, that other mom is doing it, should I do it that way? And then going online to try to figure out the quote-unquote right way.
So new mothers need a mentor. You know, it strikes me as like, if you have one person I can always call, you know, with an issue that I'm having, and my baby has diarrhea, well, what'd you feed him last night? You know, or who knows? You know, it sounds like one person would be a relief, but you're right. I mean, I could see you can, if you're already suffering with anxiety and rumination, and then you go online, you really want to care for this child, that you're going to come up with 100 different solutions when it really could be very, very simple. So is there a mentoring process? I mean, how does this idea work? I'm planting an idea for the Motherhood Center, but tell me about it.
I beat you to it, Kevin.
Oh, gosh.
So one of the things that we're trying to do is create a peer mentoring program at the Motherhood Center. So for our mothers that have graduated from the day program and have been successfully feeling well for a year post-graduation, we want to create a whole training program for them to become mentors to mothers that are currently in the day program. Mm-hmm. They need that. They need someone to call sometimes at 9 o'clock at night when we're closed and they want to run something by or talk about a scary thought or a rumination that they're having. It's so important. So ask me that question 6 months from now, and hopefully we'll have that program up and running.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. We have a caller on the line right now. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
What's your name?
My name's Kim.
Hi, Kim.
How are you?
Go ahead. I'm good.
Well, I'm driving in my car, and I'm flipping through the radio stations, and I have to stop on this station, and the lady that called in previously that just had her child was sobbing. And it took me back to when I had my own children. I had postpartum depression with both of my children, and it's so isolating, and so you feel like even though your family is around and everyone's thrilled because there's this new little baby in your life, that everything is supposed to be perfect, and you feel like a failure. You feel like you're a whack job because there's no reason for you to be experiencing what you're experiencing. And what people don't realize, too, is you just birthed this child, and your hormones are raging, and you're thinking about so many different things, like this woman, you know, maybe I'm going to hurt my child, or you're thinking about what's going to happen when they go to kindergarten, and am I going to be good enough? And you're trying to do everything and be the super person because you don't want to disappoint anyone, or you don't want to disappoint yourself.
Sure,
and
sure.
It's just like these women that are out there now, they need to realize and cut themselves a break, because back when I had my children in the 80s, people didn't want to talk about it. My mother telling me, oh, please don't get this way again, after I started having postpartum with my second child. So I started to feel like a failure immediately, because that's in a few days after birth. And it's important to see that, you know, you're not alone, but you do feel so alone. And if one person can, like, benefit from a phone call today, just to realize that, hey, like you guys were saying, there's help out there, there's resources, there's medications, there's so many different things, and that you don't have to be a superwoman and have everything perfect, you know, when you have this child. Just love your child. And don't worry about it, and don't think about people being disappointed in you. Very important.
It sounds like it was a secret for you. You had to keep it a secret. Is that true? At all?
Kind of, because it was kind of a shameful thing. Like, my mom didn't want people to really know. And then as time went by and years went by, you know, I would find out that my cousin had it, and this person had it, and it was just something that, you know, it wasn't talked about, and anything that brought any kind of negative feelings or negative attitudes to the family, like, you know, my mom just was that person that, you know, she didn't want to admit there was possibly anything wrong, even though it wasn't quote-unquote wrong, it was just how it was.
Yeah.
It was postpartum depression.
Yeah. Okay. Kim, thank you so much. That's a perfect...
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
That
was back in the 80s, though. I mean, was there any treatments back in the 80s? It sounds like she muscled through on her own.
Yeah.
And her own mother was like...
Don't do this.
Yeah. I don't want to see it.
You know? I mean, you know, SSRIs have been around for a long time. Those are antidepressants. I will say that, you know, prior to the turn of this century, cases of postpartum depression went undiagnosed far more frequently than they do now. Doctors were not screening.
Mm-hmm.
This just wasn't a thing. It was just a secret. It was a dark secret that women kept. And thanks to Postpartum Support International, which originated in the 80s, they were one of the first groups to come forward and say, hey, this is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And we've been seeing that grow over time, more awareness, more treatment options. You know, one thing I wanted to touch on with Kim is just to talk a little bit about treatment options and what works, what we know to be effective with this population. So there's a range of treatment options, again, depending on the severity of what a woman is experiencing. For women that are experiencing more mild to moderate symptoms, sometimes talk therapy is sufficient.
Okay.
Being able to go in and speak with a clinician who has experience working with perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. Sometimes the golden ticket is talk therapy with medication. SSRIs, antidepressants, are commonly and frequently used and prescribed to women that are suffering from anxiety and or depression. The DAY program is also available for women that have more acute symptoms. And there's different types. I don't want to get into the weeds on this and like the clinical speak, but there are different types of best practice modalities. So different theories and practices that clinicians can use to treat postpartum depression that are very, very effective. So CBT, DBT, IPT,
mm-hmm.
I won't get into the weeds on those, but those are really effective.
Especially with suicidal ideation, right?
Yeah.
CBT is terrific for that.
It is.
We've talked about cognitive behavior a lot here, but it's really looking at the thoughts and looking at the triggers of those thoughts. And really weighing them against reality.
Exactly.
So that's CBT.
Reality testing. So often, before I came here, I was speaking with one of my clients, and we did the whole CBT triangle again.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
thought turns into a feeling, turns into a behavior.
Right.
How do you intercept the thought? How do you reality test it? How do you base it on the facts before it turns into an anxious feeling?
Exactly.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Paige Bellenbaum about postpartum depression and how prevalent it is, how much more common it is than you might think. And we are taking your calls at 212-757-5555. If you've been through this yourself, if you've watched a loved one go through it, if you're supporting someone who's dealing with it right now, number to call, 212-757-5555. We have Mona on the line. Hi, Mona. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I don't know whether my question fits to your program today, but I wanted to get some information about my highly violent mother, who is now dead, and I'm desperately trying to find out where she came from, because clearly her behavior had a tremendous impact on me.
Mm.
So,
well,
Mona,
did you think your mom suffered a difficult birth, or was your upbringing particularly hostile and violent, and you think your mom was suffering from something?
Well, probably so, because there would be times where she would get really, really angry, and by then I had grown up. I mean, I was about 8 or 9, where she would say, you kids are driving me crazy, and she would hit herself and pull her hair.
Oh.
And I tell you, she really did act violently towards me.
Yeah. So I'm gonna interrupt you, because that might be something we can talk about, but I'm going to encourage you. Do you have a computer?
Yeah, I do.
You can shoot me an email, and I'll talk with you. Kevin@thepositivemind.com. Because this is really not about postpartum, But you bring up an interesting issue that we'll take off the air. Kevin at thepositivemind.com.
Thepositivemind.com. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so you
thank you, Mona.
You wouldn't have any
not on this topic, because we do have a specialist and a professional here, and we want to really talk about this topic. But I can help you with what you're talking about. So,
yeah, okay.
So feel free
all
to
right.
send me an email.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
You're welcome. You know, she brings up the thing of beating yourself. Maybe the mother did suffer from postpartum. I mean, that's unheard of, like you people actually attacking themselves and beating. Is there any connection to PPD? I mean, you mentioned anger and rage as an aspect of this diagnosis,
right.
Which is a kind of different depression than a lot of people suffer. Is there any aspect of this?
So I would say perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, which again is our umbrella term for any kind of mental illness that has the onset in the perinatal period. That could be depression, anxiety, OCD, PTSD, bipolar. These are all disorders and illnesses that transpire during the perinatal period. So it's very possible
right.
that, you know, this particular caller's mother had either OCD or was bipolar prior to having kids.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was treated, maybe it wasn't.
I see.
Perhaps
sure.
the onset was in the perinatal period and it never was treated.
Right.
I have not heard of very many women hitting themselves, although those that suffer from perinatal OCD might have other ritualistic mm-hmm. behaviors that include, you know, picking or counting or something
yeah.
like that,
mm-hmm.
that could fit into that category.
I see. Okay, so this was a helpful call. Thank you, Mona. Thank you. Okay, so anger and rage, 212-757-5555. We're here with Paige Bellenbaum on The Positive Mind talking about
postpartum depression,
PPD. I'm getting all these OCD. You just rattled off a whole bunch. PPD, postpartum depression. So underlying vulnerabilities. Talk about socioeconomics. Does this reach across the spectrum? Are middle classers or lower income people more vulnerable than high class? You know, people who have means. I mean, how does that figure into this diagnosis?
I will say that perinatal mood and anxiety disorders do not discriminate. We see an onset for women of all socioeconomic statuses across the mm-hmm. divide. What we do know to be true is that low-income women that are dealing with a lot of external stressors are at a much higher risk for developing a perinatal mood and anxiety disorder. And some research suggests that up to 40%, if not more, pregnant and new moms that are low-income do suffer from either mild to acute symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
What we know to be true about postpartum depression is if you have a history of mental illness prior to the perinatal period.
Or your family. Right.
That you are at a higher risk.
Okay.
If you have a lot of external stressors going on in your life, if
mm-hmm.
you're having housing issues, financial issues, relationship issues, you know, anything that's causing additional layers of stress, you're at a higher risk of developing
of
a perinatal mood and anxiety disorder.
Let's see if we can take a few more calls before the top of the hour. We have Daniel on the line. Thanks for calling, Daniel.
Well, thank you for taking the call. As I was mentioning to your screener, I had called up because, first of all, let me thank you for the program. It seems it's fascinating to me as a man.
Thank you.
Just hearing the, some of these issues that women are having during their pregnancy. It started a series of questions snowballing in my mind.
Is this the first time you've heard about it?
Postpartum depression, it's kind of been like a catchphrase, I guess, but it's nothing
yes.
I really thought about
okay.
as far as, the anxiety and the worry this causes a woman. It was almost like a passing,
mm-hmm.
They're a little sad, because their bodies have changed or something.
Yes.
Thank
you for that. That's probably a very common reaction from some men.
Okay.
That the thought behind that is they're going to get better. They're going to get over this.
Right.
Right. So keep going.
And one thing I caught myself doing, it was kind of a relation. It has some relation to that. But when my sister-in-law got pregnant, she made a very quick decision that she didn't want to breastfeed. And I had been, my ex-wife, who I had my children with, She's a labor and delivery nurse. And, you know, this, I was constantly being told how positive breastfeeding is. And as soon as I heard that, I made a very quick decision that this woman is just selfish. And I, you know, listening to your program, I'm not sure that, you know, I'm thinking that that must be the reaction of maybe a lot of people. You know, a lot of, you know, people to
good for you,
people
Dan.
Not breastfeeding.
Good for you and that, that you're examining this. You're wondering, like, if you had the right judgment on that, right?
Yeah. And I didn't know really what to make of it. I was feeling a little bit like maybe I should make a call and ask for, like, amends or something for really maybe being way off base. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was accurate. I have no idea.
No, I my personal response is that I think a lot of men are having the kinds of reactions you're having. And we'll take you off the air. We're going to talk to Paige about this. But we really appreciate your call because there's another aspect that, that you're bringing up that we want to address. So thanks, thanks very much for this call.
Thank you for your program. It really, it, you know, as someone who's been kind of been around the issue since my dear, you know, she's my ex-wife, but I still love her very much.
Right.
And you know, she was always dealing with these kind of issues, and it really opened up my mind a little.
Well, thank you. Stay tuned for tomorrow. We'll be following this up. So thank you for your call.
Okay, you're welcome. So good luck with your program.
Thanks, Daniel.
Go ahead.
I want to, you know, as Daniel was talking, it made me think of something that I really want to make sure our listeners understand. For a woman who is struggling with postpartum depression, you cannot meet that woman with, oh, you'll feel better. Just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Snap out of it. You have such a beautiful baby. Take advantage of this. This is the best thing that's ever happened to you. If you, Kevin, were diagnosed with diabetes, how would it feel to you if I said, oh, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Get over
Insulting.
It. It's this misconception we have in society around mental illness. Mental illness is just as frequent and just as severe and just as worthy and necessary of treatment as physical illness is. And so the more that we can really challenge ourselves to understand, postpartum depression is not something you just snap yourself out of. Yeah. It needs to be treated.
And I think maybe emotional illness might be less stigmatizing because there's a lot of emotions that are going on here. When mental is like, because it's such a wide variety of mental disorders out there, people naturally cringe and fear. What happens in postpartum depression is a real emotional and mood disorder. So I think it's important to destigmatize this and really get into the conversation. That's why we're glad we're doing this because we're trying to educate people. When they understand a woman has this, like Daniel is saying, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the way I've handled it is wrong.
Right.
Maybe I should create space and try and be empathic and really understand what they're going through.
And realize this is a real thing.
And I like to use the example of panic attacks. When somebody's having a panic attack, you don't just say calm down.
No, you don't. And that oftentimes exacerbates the panic.
So, Daniel, thanks for your call.
We have time for maybe one more quick call. We have Tammy on the line. Hi, Tammy. Thanks for calling us.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to call in because I suffered from PPD with my first child, and so it was like a shock. Everything's a shock to your system, being a first-time parent, and I just didn't really know what it was. And then, you know, there was so much shame in not feeling what my husband and I called, like, the big love. Like, my PPD for me was, like, completely disconnected, and I actually never sought treatment, and I really think that's, like, 2 years I wasted, you know, because I know that with treatment I would have felt better, and even just talking to anybody about it, like it wasn't until maybe 3 or 4 years later when I was going to have my second child that I finally spoke to a friend about it and said, well, I'm kind of nervous because I had this thing, and like just being able to talk about it and in a safe space, like without shame, was immensely helpful to me and coming to terms with what I had kind of gone through. And I just wish that I had been able to speak about it at the time.
So advocate for women that are going through this now. Sell them on this idea. What would you tell them?
I would tell them that every moment that you don't talk to somebody about it or you don't reach out to somebody about it is a moment that you you could gain those moments back, or you could not get them back, but everybody can get better from this, you know, and there's no shame in it, and it happens to so many women, and you just need to, like, you know, the last thing, people are always like, oh, this is the most wonderful time of your life, you have this baby, and the last thing they want you to hear is like, oh my God, I could just kill myself, you know,
yes,
like,
of course,
you know, so, like, being able to have that conversation with someone is so important, and it's the, you know, the beginning of a road to recovery, even if it's not your partner, or, you know, it's your OBGYN, or your pediatrician, mm-hmm. or your best friend, but like just take that one little step to acknowledge, like, I'm feeling messed up and this is not fun and not cool, because it can lead you towards getting better, and you will get better.
Yes.
You will totally get better, and like, why waste time feeling crummy,
especially 2 years,
you know,
now. 2 years,
yeah 2 years, it took 2 years for me to feel the cloud lift.
Tammy,
you know,
I have to interrupt you, and thank you for being our last caller today. Really appreciate
thank
it.
You,
Tune
Tammy.
In tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with Paige Bellenbaum of themotherhoodcenter.com talking about postpartum depression. And we didn't talk cross-culturally, which I'd like to follow up with tomorrow, and other nuances and aspects of this disorder. There's hope and help out there, folks. This is a unique disorder. Really 1 in 5, probably 1 in 3 mothers suffering from it. It's time we had the conversation. So thanks for tuning into The Positive Mind. Look forward to seeing and hearing from you tomorrow.
Thank you indeed, Kevin. And thank you, Paige Bellenbaum, for being here with us today.
My pleasure.
We'll see you tomorrow. For our listeners out there, you can hear us every Tuesday and Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. on 99.5 FM WBAI. Find us podcast on the iTunes Store. It's a free podcast. If you ever miss a show, you can subscribe and access all the older episodes. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll be back here same time, same place tomorrow, 1 p.m. Take care.